We often think spirituality is all about answering questions, but truly, spirituality is about asking the right questions. Before knowing what is right, we must want to know what is right, right? Still, it's always good to get answers too. So do you have questions? Questions relating to practical spirituality? What if I tell you we are going to open a booth where you can just drop your questions and we could come up with answers for you? Yay! That's what you're saying, right? Well, that's exactly what we've got here for you. We at Radio Sai are starting a brand new show, the Radio Sai Answering Booth. Every Thursday at 11 a.m, join me, Team Radio Sai's Prem, on this new show, and we will take on your questions and try finding answers from Swami's message. All you have to do is record your question and send it to me. You can mail your questions to prem@radiosai.org. That's prem@radiosai.org. Let your questions be about practical day-to-day problems and not purely intellectual. Drop your worries in Radio Sai's answering booth. Offer your prayers to Swami and sit back in peace. So it's 11 a.m. on Thursday Live, and the show's name is Radio Sai Answering Booth.
Tune in to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Dear listeners, loving Sairams and greetings from Prashanthi Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. You are tuned to Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony, bringing you the message and love of Bhagwan Sri Siddhi Sai Baba through different programs on Radio Sai. This is a segment, Seva and Sadhana, and I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai, and as always, joining me is Brother Ganesh. Sairam Ganesh.
Sairam Raghu, Sairam dear listeners.
At the very outset, let us all collectively offer our most humble, prayerful and grateful pranams to the lotus feet of our Lord, the voice and the listener of Radio Sai Global Harmony, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Today is 14th of July 2016, and this week has been a week full of events here at Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram. Yes, today is the third and concluding day of the Sri Satya Sai World Youth Festival here in the ashram. The first day was day for yesterday, and yesterday was the second day, and today is the third day. So it's a week full of activities. Every day in Sai Kulanth Hall, there is programs have been put up, cultural programs, dance, dramas, talks, music programs. In fact, all these programs have been captured through video and are webcast live from our website, radiosai.org. And in fact, if you have missed any program, you can go back to our website and watch them again. So the program continues. Today happens to be the third and concluding day. And still there are programs for the next couple of days till 19th of this month, which happens to be the festival of Guru Purnima. The time right now in our studio is 11:37 a.m. Indian Standard Time, Prashanthi Nilayam Standard Time, and the weather at the ashram is very pleasant, very cool. So, as I said, this is a segment, Seva and Sadhana, and if you are there with us, with me and Ganesh from past couple of weeks, you will be aware that we are discussing on the subject that is the real flowers which we should offer at the lotus feet of our Lord. And Swami himself has told that there are 8 flowers. And these 8 flowers are, first one, ahimsa, non-violence. Second, indriya nigraham, control of senses. Compassion, daya, is the third flower. Fourth,
kshama pushpam.
Fourth is kshama, forbearance. Fifth is shanti, peace.
Next is the tapa pushpam. After that comes the dhyana pushpam. And the last one is the Satya Pushpam, which is truth.
Yeah. So from every Thursday, we have been discussing on one of these flowers. And last Thursday, we started with the flower of penance, tapas. Mm. And we didn't complete it. So today, we will be continuing from where we left last week. So, Ganesh, before we continue, let's have a brief recap of what we discussed last week.
Yes.
So, to begin with,
we had dealt with Swami's Prashnottara Vahini, where Swami was telling in detail about what are the three different kinds of tapas, which is Rajasic, Tamasic and Sattvic tapas.
Yeah.
And then Swami went on to tell in his discourse that the actual tapas is nothing but unity of thought, word and deed with this Trikarana Shuddhi.
And in this unity of thought, word and deed, we gave the example of the young lad, Dhruva, 5 years old, who had the desire, who got the thought to sit on his father's lap, and his mother told him to go and do penance, and he also did the penance very rigorously. So his thought and deed were in unison, but when he saw the Lord, he didn't ask for what he desired. Mm. The word didn't come out. So in fact, that's why the Lord tells Dhruva to go back to his father and discharge his duties and then come back to him. So, but still the Lord promises him to give him an exalted position. So thus the Dhruva star is formed in the sky.
Mm.
So today, continuing from where we left last week, so Ganesh, we will talk on another three types of tapas, right?
Yes. Actually, this Sattvic, Rajasic and Tamasic tapas, this leads to what is called the three types of tapas, which has been mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Our dear Lord Bhagavan in his Krishna avatar, he told that there are three basic types of tapas. The first one is the Sharirika tapas, which is related to bodily penance. The second one is Vachika tapas, which is related to speech. Then the third one is Manasika tapas, which is related to our thoughts.
Thoughts and mind.
Thoughts and mind. So we shall now try to dwell more on these aspects of the tapas.
Yeah, one by one.
Yes.
So let's start with the first aspect, that is Sharirika tapas.
Yes. As Swami beautifully tells that body is the temple of God. And it's our duty to ensure that this vehicle of God is kept very pure and clean.
Mm.
So the first one is the shaucham, the cleanliness of this body. It's very, very important, as Swami is telling. Not only the body, but also the environment should be kept very clean. That is regarding shaucham. And this Swami tells the external and internal purity. Both are very, very important.
As Swami has said, the cleanliness is godliness, right?
Cleanliness is next to godliness.
In fact, as you said, body is the temple of God and it is the heart where the
Lord resides.
Lord resides, the shrine of this temple.
Mm.
And in fact, in one of the earlier episodes, we had discussed Hridaya. Hru plus Daya. Daya is compassion. So, the compassion is one of the innate nature of us, which is always present in our heart. So, talking about this shaucham, that is cleanliness, which is equal to godliness. As you said, both types of cleanliness is important, external and internal. So, if we talk about the internal cleanliness, it is concerned with the thoughts which we get, right? It should always be pure. As in the previous episode, we discussed that thoughts leads to word, which ultimately leads to good actions. Leads to actions, and it should be in good. And also should be in unison.
See, if our environment is also very much responsible for our spiritual progress, as Swami tells, if you keep the place around you very clean and neat, the vibrations that you get with that will enhance the progress that you have spiritually. In just the opposite, in case you keep the surroundings and the environment very bad, that has a very negative impact on your thought process and the practice of your spirituality.
Yes, it's directly linked to our attitude and our personality.
Yes.
How we keep ourselves and our place clean. In fact, talking about this cleanliness, when we are in Satyasai hostel, we are always trained for this, right?
Yes.
In our hostel rooms, they, almost every day the cleanliness is evaluated, and I think after a week or a fortnight or a month,
Every room is rated.
Yeah, rated, and they will give a prize at the end of the semester, right?
Yes.
So this encourages the students in Satyasai hostel to keep the surroundings and keep their home and also the workplace clean, because when we see something in clean and tidy, it, as you said, it affects us mentally.
Yes.
And it also affects our thoughts.
Yes. And when Swami tells about this external cleanliness, the very fact that all the Swami has encouraged all the devotees and the students to wear pure white dress is a very, very striking factor in this aspect. Because the resemblance of white itself means purity.
Yes.
So if the external purity is maintained, automatically people will ensure that inside you are pure. Because even a small black mark on that pure white dress can give a lot of disparity.
Yes.
Because it's very clearly seen. In the same way, Swami tells that as your dress is so clean and neat, so too your character should be neat and clean.
Mm.
So that's a very important factor which Swami has been encouraging throughout.
The end of education itself, Swami has told, is character, good
yes.
character, right?
Yes. And when we talk about white dress for the gents, Swami always tells about women wearing the main three aspects, that is the kattu, bottu and juttu.
Mm.
He tells that your hair should be plaited very nicely, and your dress should be maintained very in a very presentable way. And the third one is bottu, which he tells the bindi that you have on your forehead is a very, very sacred mark of how your character and your inner self is.
Mm.
It's a reflection of your inner being. As Swami tells, face is the index of the mind.
Yeah.
So if you see anybody very neat and clean, you can have a surety that he or she is very, very disciplined or systematic in her way of presenting or life.
Mm.
The next one, Raghu.
Yeah, so swacham and cleanliness is one of the aspects of sharirika tapas. The second aspect is respecting elders and worshipping the Lord.
Mm. So somebody, anybody can ask this question of why we have to respect elders.
Yeah.
So in one of the discourses, which happens to be the third Sevadal conference which was held in Prashantrilyam on November 15, 1975, Swami gave a very beautiful answer for this. Why should we respect elders?
Mm.
And Swami went on to say, see, your youth is not temporary. Your youth is not permanent.
Permanent.
So you have to become elders. So if you, as youth, try to respect elders, then it will come back to you.
Mm.
As Swami tells, reflection, reaction and resound. So now what you do, it will reflect back in your future.
Yeah.
So that's how respecting elders has a very, very important role in this aspect of sharirika tapas. And
in fact, talking about respecting elders, I'm just tempted to share one nice seva activity which is done by a group of Swami's devotees in Chembur.
Okay.
Chembur is a place in Mumbai, in India.
Mm.
So this group of Swami's devotees, they call themselves as Chembur Dust.
Chembur Dust. Okay. Oh, interesting.
So humble and humble way of naming themselves.
Mm.
Chembur is the name of the place and they call themselves Chembur Dust.
Mm.
And they are involved in many service activities.
Mm.
And one of the activities in which they are involved is called Vriddha Seva.
Okay.
Seva. Vriddha means
old
people.
Mm.
So what they do is every year during the month of October, at the time of Dasara festival, they identify 15 elderly people.
Okay.
And they bring these 15 elderly people to one of the apartments. Mm. They hire a special apartment for these 15 elderly people. So what is the concept is, nowadays these elderly people are neglected proper respect is not given to them.
Mm.
They are either kept in old age homes,
yes,
or some of these elderly people, their children will go, will be involved in their own work, in their own job. So nobody
they are not taken care of properly.
Yeah, not taken care of properly, and they will be always inside their house. Somebody has to take them out, and they don't have any change. So with the idea of encouraging, respecting elders, this group started this activity of Vruddha Seva.
Hmm.
So as I said, every year in the month of October, for about 1 week, they select 15 elderly people,
okay,
and they hire an apartment, and they make these 15 elderly people stay in that apartment.
Hmm.
So in this 1 week, they just will have a lot of entertainment programs.
Okay.
One day, they will take these elderly people outside for a tour in Mumbai. Another day there will be some cultural program, dance program, music program.
Mm.
There will be talks.
Mm.
And in fact, every day, what they will do is they will inculcate the Prashanti schedule for these elderly people.
Oh, very good.
They will start the day with Suprabhatam, Omkaram Suprabhatam, and bhajans and satsang. Now, what they say is these elderly people that they select should be completely strangers.
Okay.
Strangers. They should not know who they are.
Mm.
Because if they know who they are, then some people may say, oh, you know these people, that's why you are,
yeah,
that's why you are calling them.
Mm.
And they also want to highlight on the fact that if we can call some strangers, elderly people, and respect them and may bring a change in them.
Why not we do it at home?
Yeah, why not we do it for our own relatives?
Yes.
So they'll give them good food, a lot of entertainment for 1 week.
Mm.
And at the end of 1 week, what these devotees do is, they'll make these elderly people sit and they will do the Pada Puja.
Oh, okay.
That is, they will wash the elderly people's feet.
Okay.
And it seems at that time most of these elderly people will break down and they'll say, oh my God, even my own children have not done this and you have done this. So through this way, these people from Chembur Dust do these wonderful activities, and it's happening from past many years.
Oh.
So this is one of the activity which shows that we should always respect our elders and take care of them.
Yeah. When you are telling about respecting elders, I am reminded of a beautiful story which Chinnakada with Swami tells about respecting elders. A father and mother come to leave two of their sons for their higher education. They come to the railway station to send them off, see them off. Then as the children are getting onto the train, the elder son comes and takes the namaskar and pranams of both his mother and father. Whereas the younger son, he is very, very arrogant, and he doesn't even look back and say hi and bye to both mother and father. So they just get into the train. Father feels very, very hurt that his younger son did not behave properly. He did not give him respect. Then the mother tells the father that, don't worry, everything will get settled. That means a lot, actually.
That is mother's love.
Mother's love. They have the understanding towards their children. Then after their higher education, it so happens they come back. And even then, even after that, the younger son doesn't respect their mother and father. And he just puts his head high and he just goes off. What happens, the results of the examination, the younger son fails, whereas the elder son passes with very, very high marks.
Mm.
So in the future, what happens is the elder son sets up a very, very big company, and he becomes the chairman of the company.
Mm.
Whereas the younger son becomes a peon in that company. So that's Swami tells, see, this is what you, as he beautifully told, that reaction, reflection and resound. If you respect your parents and elders, it will automatically reflect in your life how you develop and grow up in life.
Yes, indeed, very true. Respecting our parents and getting their blessings before undertaking any activity is very important.
Mm. As Krishna beautifully tells, he tells Gandhari, see, why your children are in this bad state of affairs?
Mm.
You have not even casted a glance, loving glance towards your children throughout the life of your children. That is why Duryodhana and all the Kauravas are in such a very, very bad state. You should have controlled them before itself. Mm. So the love of mother and parents are very, very important as the children showing respect towards their parents and elders.
Yeah. Even Kauravas, I think they didn't show proper respect to their parents.
Yes.
So now let's go to the third aspect, which is selfless service.
Yes.
And work is worship, duty is God, which comes under charitable tapas.
This is a very, very important point, because this aspect of seva itself brings about a transformation in not only the people who have benefited from the seva, but also people who have undertaken this service. To give a small example, recently, as this World Youth Conference is going on right now, we had a group of young youth from the district of Vishakhapatnam from Andhra Pradesh, who have undertaken a beautiful service called the Premamruta Dhara, giving water to the tribal villages on top of the hills in the district of Vishakhapatnam. And those people are absolute strangers to these young youth. And the way these youth have conducted those water projects, they have completed around 220 water projects in a span of almost 7 years.
Okay.
It's a very beautiful thing that they had done. And when the in charge of their team, Mr. Ganesh, came here to Radio Sai, and he was sharing his thoughts about, we were asking him what happened and what was driving you to do this service. Then he told a very, very beautiful point. Brother, when we thought of undertaking the service activity, one of our friends came and told that, see, in such villages, lots of people are dying because of diseases, waterborne diseases. They went and they did survey in those areas, and they found that because of lack of pure drinking water, all these bad things are happening to those people. So that is how they undertook. And the transformation that they had in themselves was, when they saw the condition of the tribals there, they stopped wasting water at home.
Mm.
That is the first thing. And this is a very, very small team of just 8 youth who were studying their bachelor's and master's.
Mm.
They saved all the money which their parents used to give for their pocket money, and they used to help these children, these tribals, to get the water project done. And in the course of this, the seva made them very humble. It made them understand the importance of what all they have in life. So that is the very, very important aspect of service, which can cause a very great impact in sharirika tapas.
Yeah. In fact, it's a real seva that this youth has done, providing drinking water to the people in the hilltop.
Mm.
Because otherwise they will have to come all the way, trek all the way downhill, right, to get the drinking water.
Mm.
So talking about selfless seva, Swami has told, paropakarartham idam shariram. This human body is given to us to serve others.
Yes.
And also one spiritual master has given a beautiful analogy. He has said that God has got two types of son.
Okay.
One is rich and other is poor.
Okay.
He has made rich rich and poor poor, but with a condition.
Okay.
That rich should always help the poor whenever required. So it's in the nature's law that it is the duty of every rich or every person to help the poor or every other fellow person.
You should always extend your support to somebody who is below you.
Yeah.
So that is the basic law of nature.
Now, in fact, somebody may ask, okay, it is true, we should go to villages and do all these seva activities, but I don't have time.
Mm.
In fact, Father Swami has given a beautiful, beautiful solution.
Okay.
He says that seva doesn't mean you go to villages, take a broomstick and sweep,
mm.
or construct some houses or get involved in water projects for the villagers.
Mm.
Seva means, Swami says, transform your work itself into worship.
Oh, beautiful.
Consider your duty itself as God mm. and transform your work into worship.
Oh, amazing.
So, in this aspect, like I would like to give some analogies. Like, if there is a surgeon
mm.
and he will be busy with his surgeries and treatment,
mm.
treating people. So, for such person, what Swami says is, just before doing surgery,
mm.
close your eyes and think of Swami.
Okay.
Think of God.
Mm.
And live and pray to Him that, oh Lord, You are doing it.
Mm.
It's not me who is doing it.
Mm.
And after taking a couple of minutes for prayer, get involved in the surgery. Do your duty properly.
Mm.
And after the duty is over, again, close your eyes and thank the Lord.
Okay.
Lord, thank You for doing this.
Oh.
So, through this way, the surgeon has done,
mm.
has transformed his work into worship.
Beautiful.
And even if there is a pilot.
Mm.
So, when he is doing his duty, when he is doing his work, he should be fully concentrate. He should concentrate fully on flying the aircraft.
Mm.
Otherwise, anything may happen. That time, he can't think of the Lord. But just before the takeoff, he should take a moment, close his eyes and pray to Lord. And even after landing, thank the Lord.
Mm.
So, through this way, Swami gives a easy solution to transform our work into worship.
So, as you are telling about the doctor's example, I am reminded of a discourse in which Swami was addressing all the doctors. He is telling, see, when you are, the general hospital is right next to our Prashantaralayam Mandir, and you can even listen to the bhajans in the general hospital. Swami was telling, in case you are doing an operation, and suddenly you listen to Aarti and the news that Swami is coming for darshan, you should not leave away the operation and come running to have Swami's darshan.
Hmm.
He told that is absolute foolishness. You should see God in the patient whom you are treating. Yeah. Then automatically the work becomes worship. If you see God in the patient, He Himself will become, the act itself will become divine.
So, this is one aspect in Sharirika Tapas.
Mm. The next aspect is called Arjavam.
Yeah.
Arjavam is nothing but straightforwardness.
Mm.
Straightforwardness, which means, in a physical plane, if you see, sitting erect.
Okay.
Swami beautifully tells about why we have to sit erect. The sitting erect, that posture will give you increase in the power of concentration.
Mm-hmm.
It'll give you focus and it'll make you spiritually uplifted. That is why all the yogis and the saints are doing tapas sitting in a very, very erect posture.
In fact, straightforwardness, if we talk about this,
mm.
it also should be implied in our activities. We
yes.
should be straightforward. That means we should not be cunning or we should not cheat others.
Mm.
And as Swami, even here also, Swami gives a nice solution for this.
Mm.
We should perform an act such that we should always think, if we do this act,
mm.
will Swami be happy?
Yes.
What will be Swami's reaction?
Mm.
So if you think always in these lines, then we will always be straightforward and do good deed.
Mm. See, actually Swami beautifully explained to the students, when you are doing something, before you undertake that activity, think, will this act of mine please Swami or not?
Mm.
Then automatically, if the answer comes yes, then you go ahead doing that activity. That will make it very pure and that will become an offering to God.
Even in one of the occasions, Swami has told that dharmo rakshati rakshita.
Mm.
Even if we are told to do something wrong,
mm.
we should not do it. we should not take a shortcut.
So you have to basically apply the power of discrimination when you are in such a situation.
As it is said, if we do the right thing and have faith in God that He will always protect us, then nothing wrong can happen. Like, for example, in corporate world, it happens like we have to obey our superiors.
Yes.
In corporate world. And superiors, sometimes they will tell the juniors to do something wrong, like take bribe from someone or something like that. Or come with me for some parties, have alcohol or something. But we should always stick to our principle and be straightforward and tell them no for such things. With the full faith that God will protect us.
Can you tell any example, Raghu?
Yeah, in fact, there's one beautiful example, and in one of the previous episodes I had narrated this, but it is always good to recall this example. It seems during one of the Trai sessions, one army man, he asked Swami this question. He told Swami, in army we have to obey our superiors, there's no other way. If we won't obey, we will be court-martialed, we will be thrown out of our job. So if our superior tells us to do something wrong, in such case what we should do? That's what he asked Swami. So Swami told, see, if your superior tells you to do something wrong, later you go to him and tell him, sir, this is wrong, I can't do it. Then the army man says, Swami, you don't know, in army we have to obey our superiors, otherwise we'll be thrown out of the job. Then Swami says, no problem, so what? Then the army man said, Swami, if we lose our job, we'll be in streets. We have to take care of wife and children. And at that time Swami said, as I said previously, that you don't have faith in dharma. Dharma rakshati rakshita. If you protect dharma, dharma will protect you.
Yes.
So always do the right thing. And right will happen to, good will happen to you.
Okay. That's a very beautiful lesson which Swami had told. Being upright and straightforward. This will actually increase the power of discrimination upon selecting what is right to the wrong. The next aspects which come in this topic of Sharirika Tapas are Brahmacharyam and Ahimsa. Brahmacharyam, some people might think it is just celibacy. No, it is. Swami tells, whoever is thinking of Brahman, the divine, he becomes a Brahmacharya, Brahmin.
So it is throughout our life we have to...
Because Brahmacharya is nothing but control of senses. Keeping your senses and actions under control.
It's not that once one person, if somebody gets married, he loses his Brahmacharya.
No.
And gets into grihastha state.
Yes. Throughout it continues.
Okay.
Because your senses are always active. And at any point of, and any point in time, you have to keep them under your control. And you should not be driven by the senses. You should have, Swami gives the beautiful example of Dasharatha. Dasharatha is one who controls the Dasharatha, the 10, 5 Karmendriyas and the 5 Jnanendriyas. They are always under his control.
Okay. And the other aspect is Ahimsa, that is non-violence. So even here, Ahimsa, I am sure there are two aspects, external and internal. That is, we should not harm others. And also we should not harm others through our action. And also we should not harm others through our words and also thought. Even getting a bad thought to others is Ahimsa.
And as you are telling about harming others, the beautiful incident which happened in Swami's school, when the teacher used to punish all the children who did not tell the correct answer for the question that the teacher had asked. Swami asked little Raju, who was the only person who had done his homework and had the right answer for the question. He asks Raju to take a stick and slap. He asks Raju to slap all the children. Then Swami doesn't want to slap. So he goes to each child, he just catches hold of the cheek of each boy and he just taps on all the children's cheeks. And he comes and tells the teacher that, yeah, I finished slapping. Then the teacher gets very furious. and he slaps Raju back.
Mm.
And even then Swami doesn't oppose for that. See, the both aspects of ahimsa and as well as respecting elders comes there. Because he obeyed the order of the teacher and also did not succumb to the order of teacher, and he had his principles followed perfectly. Swami did not harm the children at that point of time.
Yeah. In fact, talking about ahimsa, we can, from Swami's life, we can derive through many episodes of, beg your pardon, through Swami's life, episodes, we can learn this lesson of ahimsa through many of his childhood episodes. And we should not harm the animals also, right?
Yeah.
So talking about this ahimsa in through words, we should not talk ill of others.
Yeah, we are now coming to the next tapas, that is the Vajika tapas.
Yeah.
Which is, which directly relates to the speech.
So in this first aspect is always to speak the truth.
Yes. But how to speak the truth is the question that everybody has in mind. This speaking truth, Swami tells, satyam bruyat, priyam bruyat, na bruyat satyam apriyam.
Yes.
So you should tell the truth in a more palatable way. And everybody gets reminded of this beautiful story from the Mahabharata, wherein Krishna along with the Pandavas comes to sage Durvasa. As the exile is getting over and Kauravas are in search frantically to find the Pandavas. He comes to Durvasa and tells, see, I have a task for you, you have to obey me at any cost. And then Durvasa tells, I will obey you, but none of my principles should be disturbed. He tells, sure. And I can't speak untruth. And he tells before itself. Then Krishna agrees to the deal. And he tells all the Pandavas to dig a big pit under sage Durvasa, the place where Durvasa is sitting, and make them hide there. And he tells Durvasa, see, when the Kauravas come in search of Pandavas, tell them in your own fashion. Tell the truth. That yeah, they are right underneath me, and the voice and the texture of your speech itself will, even if you are speaking the truth,
they won't believe it
because you are the embodiment of anger.
Yeah.
So in the same way, so what happens next is the Kauravas come, and as Durvasa is sitting on his asana, they ask him whether he has seen the Pandavas. Then Durvasa replies to them, yeah, they are right under me.
Yeah.
Then that sends a very horrifying signal to all the Kauravas. They'll feel they'll get cursed by sage Durvasa. They get scared and they go away from that place. So that is how, and the example which Swami gives about the sage and the deer. When a hunter comes chasing a deer, a sage who is sitting in his hermitage, he sees the deer going past him. So the hunter comes after him and he comes and asks the sage, oh sage, did you see the deer running from here? See, the first thing is, the sage does not want to tell a lie because it will break his penance. The second one is, he doesn't want to cause harm to the deer. That is a second point. So he is in a dilemma whether to tell untruth or to save the deer. Then he tells, see, the eyes which have seen cannot speak. The mouth which can speak cannot see. And the hunter gets confused and he goes on his own way. And in that, Swami beautifully tells that you have to apply the idea of yukti.
Yeah, correct.
Even when shakti is there, yukti is very, very important. Mm. So this is how you should present the truth.
Yeah, and here on this topic, this example of Socrates also is very good at this juncture. It seems once one of the students of Socrates, he comes to him and says, Master, I want to tell you something. You know what I heard? One of your students And he was about to say about one of his students. Then Socrates stops him. See, you want to say something about my student. But before you say, I want you to pass a litmus test.
Okay. Oh, this is interesting.
So the student says, okay, what is that, sir? Then Socrates says, see, this is called the test of three.
Okay.
I'll ask you three questions, and if you give me convincing answers for these three questions. All the three questions, then you can tell me what you want to tell. So the first question is the test of truth.
Okay.
Socrates asks him, what do you want to tell me about my student? Have you properly confirmed that it is true?
Okay.
Then that person says, sir, I just heard it from someone and I am not very sure about the truth. Then Socrates says, you want to tell me something which you yourself don't know if it is true or false.
Okay.
Then he says, yes. Okay, this is the first test in which you have failed. But let's see if what happens in the second test. So the second test is test of goodness.
Okay.
So Socrates says, what do you want to tell me about my student? Is it something good about him?
Okay.
Then the person says, no sir, it's not good. It's like this, that he will be about to say, then Socrates says, stop. So you want to tell me something about my student which is not good about him and which you are not sure if it is true or false.
Okay. So two of the tests he has failed.
Yeah. And the person gets embarrassed. Then Socrates says, okay, no problem. I have one more test. If you pass this test, you can tell me. Then Socrates says, what do you want to tell me about my student? Is it useful for me or for you or for anyone?
Okay.
At this juncture, the person says, sir, it's not like that. It's not useful. I just want to say. Then Socrates says, oh my God, you want to tell me something which you have not confirmed it is true or false, which is not something good about a person and which is not useful to anyone.
Okay.
Better don't tell about it. Tell me about it.
It's a very, very important, significant story, because this sums up the entire aspect of Vajika Tapas. How? Because as you know, Raghu, the tongue has a dual purpose. One is to eat, and the other one is to speak.
Speak, yeah.
And the power of words are nothing less than the power of the sword.
Of all the senses, it's the tongue which has got two
most,
words.
Most important thing.
Yeah.
Swami beautifully tells, see, if you hurt others physically, the wounds which you had made will heal with time. But when you speak certain words which hurt others, that will make a very long-lasting impression in their hearts and minds, which is very, very difficult to heal.
In fact, here also I would like to share one experience.
Yes.
In one of the earlier episodes also I had told this, but it's worth narrating again. It happened in during one of the Thrai sessions. So Swami asked Venkatraman, sir, Emi Samacharam, as
In his usual style.
Yeah, in his usual style. Emi Samacharam, what is the news? So Venkatraman, sir, says, Swami, today in morning one boy gave a talk in the prayer hall and it was about next lights.
Okay.
And many other things sir told Swami. And Swami told sir to sit. And after some time, Swami casually asked the boys, who is the boy who spoke about next lights?
Okay. And the boys would have sensed some danger now.
Yeah. And one boy slowly raised his hand. And Swami asked him, oh, you spoke about next lights. Have you seen a next light?
Okay.
Swami asked him. Then the boy said, no, Swami. Then how did you speak about next light without seeing?
Okay.
Then the boy said, Swami, I read about them in newspaper. And so I spoke. Oh, okay, you read about him in newspaper. Sit. Then Swami told something which is very profound.
Okay.
Swami told, see, you all are worse than Naxalites.
Okay.
Swami told the group.
It's a very damaging statement for all the boys.
Yeah. Then everyone said, Swami, no, Swami, what is this? And in fact, one teacher daringly got up and told Swami, "Swami, what you are saying like this?"
Mm.
And Swami told, "You are the worst of first among all."
Okay.
And then Swami said, "See, Naxalites, through their weapon, they harm people.
Mm.
And either the people die or the wound eventually heals.
Mm.
But you all harm people through your words."
Okay.
"Which doesn't heal for centuries together."
Okay.
Swami told. So it's, what is the lesson from this experience, from this incident is, the words is very important.
Words are very important.
Yeah, we should speak words which is always pleasant to others, and we should not harm others' feelings through words.
The second one in this line of thought is speaking words that are pleasant, as Swami told, and it should always be beneficial for people. It should create a positive impact on people. Mm-hmm. Such kind of words are very necessary. Because sometimes what happens is, at home, when something goes wrong with the children, the elders try to shout at them or scold them. We had understood this earlier, that the elder should think about what happened to the child before shouting at him or her. And it's a very, very important to understand the situation and accordingly respond and not react. So the control of the words and having a restraint on them is very, very important. Here I am reminded of a very beautiful thing which Swami tells, that silence is a very, very good weapon to control your tongue and have a restraint on it. What do you say, Raghu?
Yeah, actually one student, Brother Ashwin.
Mm.
Brother Ashwin, I was listening to his interview, and he said, it seems when he was in Swami's school, studying in Swami's school, one day he asked Swami, "Swami, I want to make you happy.
Mm.
What I should do?"
Mm-hmm.
And for this, Swami told, "Talk less, have less contact."
Oh, very, very important statements.
Yeah. Mm. And once this brother heard this, he almost zipped his mouth. That's what he says.
Mm.
That is, he talked very less.
Mm.
He almost didn't talk to anyone.
Mm.
Only when it's essential, he spoke to someone.
Mm.
In fact, before this happened, he was a very talkative boy, and that's what happened. So he followed this, and also he tried to have less contact with others.
Yeah.
He tried to make less friends, talk less. He followed this for many weeks, in fact many months together.
Mm.
And he thought, "Oh, Swami will be very happy with me."
So, but what happened next? Shall we listen from Ashwin directly?
Okay.
"Swami, I want to make you happy, and I want to know what I should do to keep you happy."
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason at that time, Swami had given two instructions, which I have known him to give a number of his students during various interactions. The first thing he said was, "Less talk."
Yes.
The second thing he said was, "Less contact." I walked out of Swami's room that day with a zipper on my mouth. Because nothing mattered more to me than to make this Herculean effort to keep him happy. And believe me, I mean it sincerely when I say Herculean, because I was always known to be a chatty guy. So I remember coming into school that day and not saying a word to anyone. I remember doing it for a few days. I remember this extending to a few weeks. And believe me, this whole thing that I should not talk unless absolutely necessary and have as little contact, you know, with, I mean, all my energies, all my efforts should just be about how can I make Swami happy? How do I spend my quieter moments chanting his name? How do I spend my quieter moments completely immersed in my studies such that when I get a good grade, I can go to him and say, "Swami, you wanted an O grade, I've got an O grade for you." That was all that mattered. And I remember doing this for a few months. And after 2 months, Swami calls me in, and the first thing he says, and here I am waiting to get my pat on the back, the first thing he says is, "Hey, too much talk."
Oh my God.
How would I feel? For months, I've sat there with a zipper on my mouth. I've hardly spoken to people. I've not said anything to anyone. I've immersed myself completely in what I felt Swami would keep Swami happy. And he calls me after 2 months and says, "Too much talk." And then Swami points to his lips and says, "Not from here." He points instead to the mind and says, "From here."
Oh.
I hold on to that lesson because I've realized that Swami was never Bahya Priya. He wasn't about externals. He wasn't about the activities that you would do in terms of the skeleton of that activity. I know discourses where Swami has said people write Namasmarana thousands and thousands of times, and every now and then as they're writing Om Shri Sairam, they look around and say, "Oh, has a dhobi come?" Or, you know, "I've got something on the stove." So to him, it was never about the externals or the expression or the form. It was always about the spirit and the substance. And that was when I realized that despite the fact I had been quiet, my mind was the noisiest mind in the universe. And I had to start all over again. But this time focused at how can I quieten the mind.
So it's a very, very pertinent lesson for all of us, because there are both positives and negatives that have been clearly mentioned in this experience. That speaking less will give you a lot of constraint over yourself, and it will increase the capacity of concentration, and also it will give you direction to your mind. It won't waste the energy that is there in you.
Yeah.
And the second aspect is how Swami had reflected upon his actions is, it is very important to control the thoughts in your mind rather than controlling your actions, because that gives a very, very significant impact.
Yeah, as we heard from the experience, it's not keeping silence just through our words, but mentally also we should be silent. We should control our thoughts, in fact get good thoughts. So there are a few ways in which we can do that, is Namasmarana, having good company, etc. And dear listeners, and we will talk about this in next Thursday, as the time right now is 5 minutes to 12:30. So Ganesh, let's continue it next week, right?
Because there are a lot more things that Swami tells about Vajika Tapas, and the most important thing that Swami introduced through this experience of keeping the mind under restraint, which is the Manasika Tapas.
Yeah.
So we shall deal with those aspects in the coming session, in the coming Thursday's episode.
So today we spoke about Sharirika Tapas and Vachika Tapas.
Vachika Tapas, halfway through.
Yeah. Okay, dear listeners, please send us your feedback, comments and any questions to the email ID listener@radiosai.org. So we place this segment at Bhagwan's lotus feet, and in a couple of minutes from now, we will be joined by Brother Prem and Arvind for the next segment of today's Thursday Live, that is Afternoon Satsang. Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Maheshwaraya, शिवेन सह मोदते